And we are back here on the Not Black, Not White American podcast. Saudi, am I too loud in your ear still? All right, good. She was that was a little loud before, so I'm glad we got that worked out. We got an exciting show for you guys today, man. We got New Jersey's gubernatorial candidate, Hirsch Singh, joining us in just a little bit. Basically, as I was telling you guys on Facebook, over the next 3 weeks, we are honored actually to be doing this. We are going to be interviewing all three New Jersey gubernatorial candidates. So this week we will have Mr. Hirsch Singh. Next week, we will have Mr. Phil Rizzo, and the week after that, we will have Mr. Jack Cittarelli. So we want to thank all three of those gentlemen for honoring us by accepting our invitation to come on the show. I know we're not the biggest show out there, but obviously, we've garnered a lot of respect, and we really appreciate it. Appreciate that. It's a very humbling experience from CPAC to interviewing the gubernatorial candidates, man. We're very excited. We're very humbled, and we appreciate you guys all. And thank you guys all that sent in questions over this last week to ask the candidates. We are going to have a set of questions that we ask every single candidate, and then we'll be asking some questions from our listeners that they specifically asked us to address on the show. So I'm excited. How are you, Ms. Priscilla?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Sorry, guys. We're still just, you know, sharing as we do. You guys know how it goes. We start sharing on all the platforms. You know, letting Marissa know, our wonderful moderator, Miss Marissa, between her and Saudi, they do a great job in the comments of, you know, interacting with you guys and making sure everything is going kosher in there. So thank you so much, Miss Marissa. And Miss Saudi Ali, who's also our engineer extraordinaire. You know, we playing around with some stuff today, so we'll have some, you know, more professional graphics for you guys today as we're interviewing. And I'm just excited. So, Priscilla, talk to the people. What's going on?
Oh, a lot of things. We've been busy.
Busy isn't even the word.
But it's all good stuff. Doing a lot of stuff for the state.
Yep.
Working really hard.
Yep.
Working on your campaign.
Yes.
We were at a great event last night. Met Kim Klasick. She's fantastic.
Her speech was amazing.
Her speech was so just incredible. Really incredible. It was really special. What a great person.
Can I go over one thing she said?
Yes.
I really just, because I actually posted it yesterday.
I saw you did, yeah.
And this was just like, it was just so important. And she just, there was so much more stuff. Usually I would go live in an event like this, but I was just so interested in hearing her, Phil Rizzo. I really wanted to hear what they had to say, as well as Mr. Spadia. And he was awesome, Bill Spadia.
Yes.
And, you know, so I didn't go live or record it because I was really intently listening to what they said. But basically, so I wrote up here from one of the things she said. She was basically, let's see here, talking about, so this is like almost verbatim what she said. Trump funded HBCUs, as we all know, 10 years in advance. The $1.9 trillion COVID bill included giving Howard University $35 million. That is actually the only, which I didn't even know this, the only HBCU in the country that got $35 million. Can anybody out there guess who went to Howard University? Ding, ding, ding. Kamala Harris, right? So they're the only ones that got the $35 million. Then Bill Clinton and the Clinton Foundation itself just announced right after that that they're going to be partnering with Howard University,
of course,
Miss Kamala Harris, Stacey Abrams, and others to speak about none other than, this is like, it has to be some kind of sick joke, women empowerment. The guy that's been accused of raping multiple women and just doing some crazy stuff is actually being lifted up and exalted as some type of force within the women empowerment movement. This is how sick and twisted, especially the Democratic Party has become, but not just the Democratic Party, just our career politicians in general. Like, I saw it today. One of the articles said this literally must be a sick joke. So, you know, when she brought that up, it was just a really interesting point that she hit on. And, you know, she was so precise, so articulate in the way she used her voice. And it wasn't just all about tearing down Democrats either. She talked about how the Republican Party, and we were talking about this earlier, when Loeffler and Perdue were running, how she went out there to help the efforts. And basically, she was with a bunch of black conservatives. Tim Scott. She was also with not Herman King, rest in peace, Tim Allen. And she basically asked them, are we going to Atlanta? Because that was important. These are black conservatives. We know it's a black and brown district in Atlanta. And she found out that not only weren't they going there, but they hadn't sent any leaflets. They hadn't sent any literature, nothing. Nothing. They basically disregarded that. And every conservative in nothing. That room last night was like,
yeah.
Because the actual people, not the leadership, the people of the party care. The Republican, the conservative people, the people like us that make up the party, we actually care about those things. We understand as regular people that we need to reach out to those communities in order to win. So if you're not willing to the leadership, if you're not willing to reach out to those communities, one, we're going to primary you guys and get you out of the party. And two, you're not really serious about winning because you can't do that. Even with Mr. Chris Christie, he found out, and I'm sure you knew this already, but he won 21% of the African-American vote when he won the governorship. And I know amazing. People like Jack and Phil are starting to go after that vote and going to start going after it more aggressively. That's what we need to do to win races in the Republican Party.
Yes. And it's so important. And how do you just not go to the people, the grassroots, yeah. the people, you know, how yeah. do you just say, we're not going to send any leaflets out. We're not even going to try to get Atlanta. We're not even going to try to get any of these.
In other words, we don't care. That's basically,
that was just,
and I've heard Billy talk about that. Billy Primpa has always said that the Republicans, especially in New Jersey, he's finding they have almost like backdoor deals with Democrats where, okay, yeah. you control this city and this district, we control this one. We're not about that. We are a new generation. We want to control everything. We want to control everything by the people and doing things for the people, not to fatten politicians' pockets, right. not to keep politicians in office. We want to see our country grow. We want to see our country progress. We want to see it now. So shout out to people like Mr. Scott Presser, our boy,
yes.
who is out there Amen. Primarying politicians and really speaking truth to power. We have your
bringing
back
it to them. Bringing it to them.
I love it. I was talking to him the other day and standing I just told up. Him thank you, man. I love you. Love I love him. What you're doing. And I've seen even at the events that he's speaking at, he's gotten more and more aggressive. He is going in. I love it.
All in. He's I all love in it. And he's going after him.
We're
and,
pumped up.
And if you're not gonna go with us, then you're out of here. We're gonna get out of here. Against you.
Get
gonna,
out.
We'll find somebody else to fill your shoes. And
well,
that's
just like
it.
You know, just like I know he may not want to put this all the way out there, but just like Mr. Vernon Jones, who we interviewed not too long ago, has been seen the last couple of weeks a few times with Mr. or President Donald J. Trump.
Yes.
And he basically said, we have our eye on Georgia. You know what that means. That means, and I think, and I'm not going to confirm this, I haven't confirmed this, but I believe Mr. Vernon Jones, with the backing of President Trump, is going to run for governor of Georgia. I hope you do. I really hope you do because
really
it's time to get Kemp
do.
Out of there. We're getting everybody out
and
there.
We'll help
you're not
you,
America.
We'll absolutely,
here
you.
I already know. If you're not an America First candidate, you have no more room in this party. There is no more room for you if you're not an America First candidate.
Right.
Honestly, yeah. there's no room for you at all. Yeah. We're not playing with you guys anymore, and we see the BS. We're going to start calling it out. You got people out there like Scott. You got people out there like the Vernon Joneses. You got people out there like New Jersey Women for Trump. You got people out there like Diaries Made for America. You got people out there like Billy Prempa. You got a lot of people out there right now that are stepping up. We're stepping up to the mantle, and we are going to make sure we reform and reshape this party in the image that we always thought it should be and what it used to be and what is going to be going forward.
Yeah, and that's why we want to have all the candidates on our show
yeah,
to
buddy.
Give you guys
yeah.
the opportunity to see everybody and to listen and ask your questions and give everybody a fair chance, and that's it, you know. And we're starting it tonight. And we
oh,
have
it's going down.
Hirsch. Singh tonight. He's really nice guy. Met him back when we first started New Jersey Women for Trump with Tracy and I, and he was really nice, and he came to our event in November at Eagle Oaks and 2019, and it was fantastic. It was really great. He came and he enjoyed himself, and I got to know him, and very nice, yeah. very strong. So it's nice to be able to give everybody a platform and let them speak and let everybody in our groups, anybody else on Facebook, everybody share, please. So, you know, give the opportunity to hear these people and let them tell you what they want to do and what they're about.
I agree. Yo, I'm so pumped up. This state is pumped up.
Yes.
And I keep telling you guys, New Jersey is going to set the wave going forward. Like, we're not stopping. It's just event after event. It's broadcast after broadcast. It's television show after television show. Whatever it is, man, we're just going to jump in it. We're going to be about it. And we're going to keep speaking truth to power. And I know I said this already, but I can't say it enough. Scott Presser, congratulations, man. You are really one of the torchbearers of this movement.
Yes.
And as I told you, even when it came to the cleanups, which will be starting very soon, we're going to be doing cleanups all over this state. Even when it came to that, you were the motivation for that. And to see you go from that to grow to the man you are now, man, you are inspiring a lot of people. You are basically knocking the fear out of people. There is no fear. We're from Jersey anyway. People like us, we don't have fear. We never live with fear. It is what it is. Somebody was, actually, I won't say who it was, but somebody said the other day, they were just like, they're not from here, but they're working on one of the campaigns. And they were just like, they were like, you know, in Jersey, you guys just speak real. She said, the media out here is so much different than the rest of the company. You guys just tell it like it is. I said, yeah, because we're just raw and direct.
Raw.
That's it. We don't care because we don't. We like to get past the BS, man. We don't like dealing with the BS. It aggravates me. It aggravates me.
Who has time for it? It's such a waste of time. Just let's get to the meat and potatoes and let's go.
Yo, it aggravates me. The BS aggravates me.
We're busy bees. We just got to keep going. Buzzing around.
And that's why I like, so like when me and Billy, you know, God, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but, you know, if we are honored and blessed enough to get to Congress, I told him one of the first things we're going to do is we're taking our phones out, we're going live on Facebook, and we're marching to AOC's office. Now, we're not going to, like, harass her or anything, but we're marching her office, and maybe we'll get a conversation. Like, that's how we on it. That's how we're on it, man. Like, we are pumped. We are ready. We are ready to fight.
I went to AOC's office.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I
ate a hamburger. I brought a hamburger and I ate a hamburger because she was talking about the cows and the whole thing. So I was like,
okay.
It was funny. It was comical.
It sounds like it. Yeah, she's a pretty comical person. Her career is comical. Honestly, with the, you know, with the $50,000 job she lost in New York City because of her ignorance, you know, pretty much when the average salary on those jobs was $100,000. It wasn't like you're going to have like $500,000. The average salary was $100,000. And she wiped those, I'm sorry, it was 25,000 jobs, I believe, wiped them out of New York City because of her arrogance, because of her ignorance, and because of political games these people like to play. And I think people are starting to wake up to that a little bit more with what Joe Biden is doing in that office right now. Because let us just tell you, that crisis at the border is 1,000% Joe Biden. You know, I had somebody try to like argue with me one time, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and came on one of my posts and basically tried to say this was Trump's fault. That person didn't even understand the policies that Joe Biden dismantled in order for this to take effect. Now we just found out today, right? Now we found out they're actually lying to us because now some of his aides are coming out and saying,
yep,
Joe Biden was briefed on the fact because he asked specifically, what would happen if I dismantled these policies from Trump? They told him, if you do that, the human trafficking will go up and you will have a disaster at the border. Guess what they did? They dismantled them anyway. And the policy, just for all those people that like to just keep saying it's Trump's fault, you don't know what you're talking about. The policy was the Trump administration negotiated a deal with South American countries and Mexico that instead of these people getting these caravans and coming here, coming to our border, coming in, we have to, you know, disseminate all this stuff. They were to hold them in their country. So that's when you saw Mexico for the first time ever put 25,000 troops on their border. That's never happened, nor is it happening anymore while Joe Biden, because he doesn't have the strength to make that happen, nor does Kamala Harris. But this is when they put 25,000. These things are significant that people don't want to acknowledge right now. These are significant. That's why I said the other day, we don't have a real president anymore. I'm old enough to actually have remembered us having a real president in Donald Trump that actually did these things that we've been asking to do. But he negotiated a deal where they had to hold the people in their country while the United States disseminated between the different groups to see who were real asylum seekers, who were human traffickers, coyotes, whatever you want to call them.
Yes.
And then they would let them through. So they never said, you can't come here at all. We just want to make sure the right people, if you're running for a real reason, you're escaping violence, yeah, in your country,
yeah,
you know, religious persecution, whatever, you can still come
of
here.
Course.
But we're not Sanctuary. Just going to let anybody come here anymore. What did Joe Biden and Kamala Harris do? They took that policy out right away just to say, just because Trump put the policy in. And I said this to somebody the other day. I know Trump did a little bit of the same thing when he came in, right? He got rid of some policies, which some people thought it was just because Barack Obama put it in. But let's take the Paris Accord. There was a reason why he did that. When you find out that even though we went out of that Paris Agreement, the United States still had the largest decrease of CO2 of any country in the world, yep, and has for the past couple of years. And China now has the most CO2 of like all nations combined. Why the heck were we in that deal in the first place? So he didn't take out these things to spite Barack Obama. He did them because we should have never been them in the first place. So you guys need to start really disseminating reality from your emotions. Exactly. Honestly, I'm really starting to think that Democrats are the party of emotion. Republicans are the party of logic.
Yes.
And if you don't understand that, you don't understand much, man. But we're going to stay out here. We're going to stay on their necks. We're going to keep going.
That's right.
And we're going to press forward. We're going to do so much stuff, man. We got so much stuff coming this spring, this summer. I'm pumped up. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Me too. I am. I'm excited.
Ready. Going
to police rallies. We're going to do it all. We're going to support so much and help this state as best as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop.
Somebody just said, like Trump, raw and direct. You got it, Dina.
Yes.
Raw and direct. And that's what they didn't understand about Trump. That's why they were so easily able to label him racist, right? But if anybody with half a brain sat there and actually thought about the things they were labeling him racist for, you probably would have came to a different conclusion. But because people are so propagated and so gullible nowadays, they're just like, yeah, he talks like a jerk sometimes. He's a little harsh. So yeah, he must be racist. Nah, that's just how he talks. Sometimes I was at the event last night. And I went over after the event. Elizabeth Nader was talking to a pastor. I didn't know he was a pastor at the time, but I went over there, like, you know, me and her, like, just joke around or whatever. And I was like, I started talking. And I was like, fuck. And I started to say the F word. And she was like, there's a pastor. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't even, sometimes it just comes out. We're just from Jersey, man. We're raw and direct and just hardcore like that sometimes. It's just how we talk. And that's why we appreciated Donald Trump, because he never changed himself. He couldn't be bought, like Phil Rizzo said last night. And I was the first one to start clapping when he said it. We can't be bought. Honestly, if you approach candidates like us going forward and you think we can be bought, you're only going to embarrass yourself. We can't be bought. We were talking about it before. I'm not going into this for money. I could easily just stay making $250,000 a year and do what I was doing, enjoying my luxury life. I took a downgrade.
I've put out so much money. I'm like, you know, it's just crazy. But it's because you're not doing it for the money. You're doing it for the love of your country, the love of your state, for my kids, for all our children, for family.
Yep.
For, you know, this country means everything.
It really does.
My husband's a veteran. You know, I mean, the Gulf War. I mean, come on. It means so much. We're losing so much. And I don't want to lose this country. And I'm not going to let it happen on my watch. You know, I'm going to get up and do what I can do. And at least I said, you know what? I tried. I did something. I got off the couch. I stopped, you know, all the nonsense and, you know, all the stuff. I did something, and it means too much to me. I want to grow up. I want my kids to be able to ride bikes. I want them to be able to be off the computers every once in a while and doing things and not be programmed. I want them to go to school. I want them to learn. I want them to learn about our history. You know, I want to be able to bring them to a city where there are statues that we want to talk about. And now everything's like, you know, they're just getting rid of everything. And I want to stop
Dr. Seuss.
You know,
we
got to stop that.
We salute you and Tracy, because you guys were one of the originals as far as this grassroots movement we have going. So we definitely salute you guys. You guys are now over 60,000 members strong for New Jersey Women for Trump. I didn't think people out there realize that. Like, we're not talking just to be talking. We got numbers behind us right now. We got a lot of people supporting this movement, and we can make things shake and pop real quick. And that's what we're going to be doing, especially this spring and this summer.
Yep, and that's why we want to have these gubernatorial candidates on, and I say we get going right now with Hirsch. So
yeah, and shout out to Neil Katasha, my old boss. He owns Rydell Volkswagen. He said, "Go Mayfield, man." What's going on, Neil? He's always been a big supporter of ours, a big supporter of my campaign, and everything we do. And as you guys saw, I'm actually opening up a used car lot that's coming soon. So he's going to be a big supporter of that. We're going to be doing some business together. So what's going on, man? I got a chance to chop it up with him and Jim Rydell. We were talking about the election and everything going on right now, as well. So shout out to him, man. And before we get him on, let's just, so we got Kathy. We usually go over a couple of things that people say. Kathy said, if you are honest and straightforward, you do not have to remember your lies and untruths. It's just as simple as that, honestly. You know, they got to remember a lot of stuff because they're just talking out the, you know, other end of their body and just saying things. And it's not matching up real quick. Joe Biden has to sit there and read cards to answer questions. When the heck do we ever see a president have to read notes to answer questions? That's crazy. That's crazy. And you got Democrats out here now painting this. After we just went through 4 years of them trying to paint everything Trump did as just crazy and just abnormal. Now you see the most crazy, abnormal stuff happening. And they're just like, yeah, this is cool. Joe Biden, he's a great president. And in fact, this is one thing they're not talking about because, you know, we know liberals control the media. So you won't see a lot of this stuff reported, right? But you actually don't see a lot of liberals saying much of anything. And the Democratic leaders should be a little worried about that because they understand what's going on. They see how crazy this is. They're, in their minds, they're like, yeah, this is a little different than we thought it was going to be because this guy is clearly going through some type of mental decline. It's not hard for anybody to see, man. That there is right there in our face. And what I'm scared about is what's going on when this guy is in a meeting with Xi or in a meeting with Putin. What is going on? Is Kamala in those meetings with her? At this point, I hope she is. Even though she shouldn't be, I hope she is because if it's just him talking to him, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. We are in trouble. I could go out negotiate Joe Biden right now. Right now, I could probably sit here and talk him down from any position he was in. That's how lost this man is right now. And it's clear as day to see. So it's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. I'm fired up though. I love it, yo.
I can tell.
I'm so fired up.
Come on, let's go.
What time is it? It's not time yet. All right.
Yeah, it's
right,
way past right. time.
Saudi, are you ready? No, it's not. You ready, Saud? All right, hold on. Did you say let's see. We're gonna get Mr. Hersing on. We're gonna bring him on. And we got some questions. Priscilla has a couple questions from our guest, and I have a couple questions. So let's make this happen.
Here we go. There we go.
Yeah, boy. You can take it off.
Hersing.
Hey, Mr. Hersing. Welcome to Not Black, Not White American Podcast. How are you, sir?
How you doing, Darius? Great to be on with you.
It's great to have you, man. You're here with myself and Priscilla, and I know I haven't talked to you in a while. I told Priscilla I had one conversation with you. That was a couple of years ago when we were doing the cleanup, and we obviously didn't get connect, man, but I've been watching what you're doing. I see what you're doing, so it's an honor to have you on tonight, and I know not only ourselves, but our audience is really looking forward to hearing the answers to some of these questions, so thank you for being on with us tonight.
Thank you for having me, and always a pleasure to have Ms. Confrey. She's a true gem to the MAGA movement, to the conservative movement,
yeah,
and I really think that all that work that was put in last year for President Trump, it's not going away. You know, it's actually going to, I think, blossom into a beautiful 2021 Republican year.
Yes, sir.
Because they didn't count a lot of votes last year. I mean, there was just a bunch of nonsense. And those people, those Republicans that felt their vote wasn't counted, they're going to be coming out in waves this year.
Yep.
As long as we have a solid Trump-supporting group of candidates running for office, which I think we do, and that is going to make New Jersey red from bottom to top and set the stage for 2022, where Darius, I want you to be our congressman, sir.
Oh, you're the man. Listen, I love how you're coming out the gate right now. Your energy is matching mine because I was just on fire before we got you on the phone. So your energy is matching mine. I love it. And you know I'm an America First candidate. And I was just telling our audience that if you're not an America First candidate, you're getting kicked out the party. We will primary
That's
you.
Right.
I love what Scott Pressler is doing. We will primary you in New Jersey. We will primary you in Florida. We will primary you all over this country because we're tired of waiting. We're tired of the BS. And we want real change. And we want it now. And the only way we're going to get that is that with people that have the same fire and the same vigor as President Trump had.
100%. And you know what, just to add on to that, okay, I made it very clear before those official results came out that if they said President Trump lost, it was not because of Democrats. It was because Rhino Republicans stabbed President Trump in the back. I mean, we have the majority in the U.S. Supreme Court. Okay, we had more than enough people that came out and voted. It was historical, and they stole this election. They cheated, and they might have been able to do it with last year, but now it's the revenge. And all that energy that went in is going to come out this year, and it's going to set the stage for a real Republican takeover of this whole country.
Yes.
And, you know, I actually just walked out of an event. We had about 150 people over in Warren County. Yesterday I had a fundraiser. Look, we have a ton of momentum. What was shocking was that those 150 people, I asked them how many of them had heard of me before this year, and literally 75% of the people in that room raised their hand. And I said, how many people is the first year that heard about me? And then you had about like the other 25. So, I mean, we have what is necessary to really and get our state to go in the right direction. Because the turnout last year for President Trump in New Jersey was around 1.8 million. But that's an at least, because we don't know how many votes were not counted.
Exactly.
And honestly, if you look at 2017, Phil Murphy only got 1.2 million votes. Okay? 1.2 million. If we have an America First candidate, like myself, like you, running in New Jersey, we're going to pull out that 1.8 million, which doesn't mean that doesn't just mean we're throwing out Phil Murphy, but it means we're going to win the assembly seats and the state senate seats necessary to not just have to work with Democrats, but actually push a Republican agenda to cut the cost of living in New Jersey and actually free us from all this corruption. I mean, this state has been run by criminals and mobsters for four decades. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's time to throw them out.
Yes.
I couldn't agree with you more.
You're here.
Yeah, man. We're ready, as you can hear. We're fired up just like you. And I think you're absolutely right, man. And it's good for especially the people of New Jersey to hear energy like this, because as you know, after the election, so many people got down. So many people got down on themselves. Oh. So many people got down on the process. And the worst thing we can do, and the best thing for Democrats we could do, is get down on ourselves and not go out to vote and be so down. And you're absolutely right. One of the things I think people don't realize is, and I honestly believe this, there's more Republicans in this state than there are Democrats at the end of the day. And even in the district, the 12th district that I'm running in, yes, we've had Democrats the last couple of cycles. But before that, it was mostly Republicans that were winning. At some point, we just got so down and people stopped coming out to actually vote. And it's just a matter of us waking the people back up and getting them out. And there'll be a red wave in this country, in this state, like they have never seen, man. So I appreciate your energy. I heard about the event tonight. I was actually talking to your guy that organized that. So I know you're doing some great things down there. And I'm sure we're going to link up on something soon. But let's get to a couple of questions that not only we have for you, but some of our audience members have for you, so we can, perfect, you know, get your honest answer and we can get the people to really know you, Hersing. So you want to start with the question?
I do, because we were talking about the 2020 election.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Hersh, as we were just talking, the 2020 election was a mess by all accounts, by many accounts. And we just saw yesterday, I believe, the governor, Brian Kemp in Georgia, just signed a bill into law requiring voter IDs for absentee ballots. Are you in favor of strict voter ID laws, and what do you propose?
Election integrity is the number one issue. It's the number one issue. We need to have voter ID, and we need to make sure voter rolls are completely audited and cleaned up. It should be very clear, every single person who has the legal ability to vote and every person who does not. And it should not be some type of, you know, behind closed doors process. Every single poll worker, every single person who's counting ballots should have a camera, the way we force our law enforcement to have a camera on them. We need, I agree with the Georgia bill, but I don't think it does everything. It needs more. Yeah. We need to make sure that the corruption is rooted out.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason why he rushed that bill through in Georgia is because he sees what's going on with people like Vernon Jones and Donald Trump. He knows we're about to get him out of there, too. He was flip flopping too much and he's about to go, too. These people don't understand. We're not playing with them anymore, man. It's over. The time for games is over. It's done. The country is going to understand soon. So.
Yeah. And, you know, just to add on to that fast about this whole election integrity issue, you know, what Phil Murphy did last year was actually insane. You know, Article 1, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution states that only the legislature has the ability to determine how an election is conducted. Okay, it's very explicit. And what he did, using executive order to determine how our primary and general election were conducted, violated the U.S. Constitution. And I sued. I sued in all 21 counties, and I took it all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I represented myself pro se, okay? And they threw out, the U.S. Supreme Court threw out my case the very same day they threw out Donald Trump's Pennsylvania case. And the Pennsylvania case was a violation of Article 2, Section 4, and New Jersey was a violation of Article 1, Section 4. I think that when we get through this primary and it's me versus Murphy, all we have to do is let the people see exactly what he did. You know, if the Supreme Court didn't do its job, we're going to win in the court of public opinion because we're going to put the 2020 nonsensical universal vote by mail scam election on trial in public in front of everyone. And that's how we're going to take him down, because no one will allow that there is integrity if people are getting ballots with their married name, with their maiden name, with people that have moved out of the state, people that are, you know, on military service. It was just, there's no one you can talk to who doesn't know someone who got multiple ballots. And that whole process was flawed from the Board of Elections all the way to people's houses. It was just it was disgusting.
Yep. People who passed away.
Yeah.
Voting.
Yep. And it's so sad because, you know, the media likes to depict these people as conspiracy theories. But as you said, literally none of us don't know somebody that didn't receive multiple ballots. I know somebody that received one in New York City and in Virginia. And she just went to go to Virginia to stay with a friend for a month or two while, you know, while New York was locked down. So it's really crazy, man. It's really crazy. But we want to get to everything with you. So I got a question from an actual a follower, a listener of ours, Ken Moose. I actually had to screenshot it on my phone because it was a long one and I want to make sure I get his whole thought out. So This is from Mr. Ken Moose, all right? Yay. He says, Years back, we had one of the best finance pensions in the entire country. Then several of our governors stole from our pension to balance their respective state budgets. Overspending has been killing this state and our pension and was used as found money to try to balance everything out. Every police officer and firefighter that I know in the system has contributed greatly to prepare for each of our futures. We were penalized for having a well-funded system. So here is his questions. He would like to know what is going to be done if you become governor to fully fund the police and fire pension system. Also, what will be done to pay back everything that was taken and what will be done to ensure that it doesn't happen again?
This is a very serious question because it really is the basis upon which the state is in a financial credit crisis. Yes. And it really started before, but the main contributor to our problem today is Christy Todd Whitman, the supposed Republican governor who endorsed Joe Biden at the DNC. Okay, so the corruption is coming right from there, and she's the one who took a $300 million unfunded liability and decided to play games on pieces of paper and not fund it. And that $300 million payment today is $80 billion.
Oh, wow. God. Wow.
Okay. In unfunded liabilities. And that's what she's talking about when she's mentioning pensions. Now, here's the thing. People that have paid into a pension their entire life, they signed an agreement with the government and the government must honor what they have signed.
Yep.
But we cannot allow this to ever happen again. So we need to move away from pension plans. We need to move to a 401k. Private style plan where people are able to be free of getting this support from the state. We need to get away from Cadillac plans for those that are entering into it, maybe that have only paid in for a couple of years, and then moving forward, have a completely private option. So you cannot allow politicians to manipulate. You know, that's what they do. I mean, people don't understand. Right now, our state budget officially is $44 billion, right around $44 billion. But it's gone up drastically from just 2017, when it was around right around $30 billion. I mean, it is just magnifying at a rate that is unheard of. And they don't care because in their mind, you know, they don't have to take care of the bill here. Now, they were expecting COVID to have destroyed their taxing capability, you know, and they actually borrowed $10 billion. Murphy borrowed $10 billion. So that taxes didn't have to go up on businesses this year, so that, you know, he knew this was an election year, right? He borrowed $10 billion. And when the final numbers actually came out, the where they were expecting $12 billion of reduction in revenue, it was actually only a reduction of $200 million. Mm-hmm. So they lied to the people. They played that game all the way through the Assembly, the State Senate, you know, and Republicans and the population got played. They got played so bad that our grandchildren are going to be paying back that $10 billion loan that he just took out. Mm-hmm. So these issues can be solved. We have to cut the fat, cut the spending on these, the special interests. Okay, we got to take care of our first responders 100%.
Yep.
We got to take care of our you know, blue line, like our law enforcement, our first responders. We got to take care of them 100%. But we have to stop with all the free handouts. I mean, all the money going to illegal immigrants. There should not be a dollar going to illegal immigrants if there is a single American veteran who's poor, who's living on the street.
Yep.
I mean, we have to take care of every American citizen first before we start giving tuition support to illegal immigrants. I mean, how many people are working two jobs to try and send their kids to get a good education?
Right.
But meanwhile, you can justify sending millions of dollars to illegal immigrants. It doesn't make any sense.
None at
and
all.
The reason they're doing it is because they know that minorities are waking up, and Florida was won by President Trump because minorities and the women vote came out for Trump like no other.
Mm-hmm.
And the only demographic he lost from 2016 was white men, because CNN and MSNBC convinced them that, oh, they should be guilty about racism, even though the guy's not racist an inch, okay?
Right.
So the reason you have illegal immigration and all this support from Democrats is they're trying to bring in a voting bloc to stop the fact that all populations are getting better educated, minorities are becoming Republican. And that's what my goal is, to be a candidate that's going to break the big lie of Democrats, which is to teach people that are immigrating here that Republicans are racist and that Democrats means democracy. We need someone who's going to break that mindset in their head and show them that they're being put into pseudo-slavery if they're on the Democrat plantation. You know, we need to get people to have the freedom to live their lives. We need to get kids out of failed school systems in our inner cities.
Mm-hmm.
We need to give them opportunities by having school choice.
Yep.
And I really think that we need to break these unions that are perpetuating it, like the NJEA.
You actually just answered one of our other questions about school choice, because one of my questions was going to be, how do you feel about school choice, charter schools, and things like that? So I think it's pretty clear how you feel on that, which is also a platform of mine. So we definitely appreciate that. And I agree with you 1,000%. And one of the things I think we've seen during this pandemic is, you know, a lot of these charter schools and private schools have been open this whole time. Right. They've been open because they understand that, you know, the contraction rate is very low among school grade students and things like that. But what happened was, in these government run public schools, the I won't even say minority, because maybe it was half and half, but the half of people that didn't want to open, you know, affected the lives of the other half that was okay opening, okay sending their kids to school. And it just, you know, that's all because we have no school choice in this country, in this state. So I definitely agree with you as far as school choice. Parents should be free to choose where their kids go.
Yes.
And you know what? If that government-run public school doesn't want to open up because of COVID, that parent should be able to yank their kid out of that school, have the money follow them, and put them wherever they want to do if they're ready to teach their kid and, you know, help them have a better life and push through this thing.
Yes. Let me add on to that real fast, Darius. So
yeah.
Right now in New Jersey, we're spending about $14.5 billion, mm-hmm. On our schools. About $1 billion of it goes to Newark, okay? And when you really want to understand how this breakdown works, in places like Asbury Park, they are spending more than $42,000 per student per year. Okay. Meanwhile, if you go to like Margate, they're receiving about $1,250 in state aid. Now the difference is that school that's getting $42,000 plus per student per year might have a proficiency of maybe 12% in math and reading.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the school that's getting almost like the $1,250, they're having a proficiency of over 92% in math and reading.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make any sense. So 70% right now of our students in New Jersey, of the 1.3 million students K through 12, 70% of them are in underfunded programs, because that money, that $42,000 per student per year, that's not going to students. It's not going to teachers. It's going to the scams, the publishers, the engineering firms, and all that scumbaggery where they're fleecing the people
the unions.
And using the children. Yeah, the fleet. It's not going to teachers. It's going to the union. So I think that what we have to do is take that full $14.5 billion in the state, divide it evenly by every student K through 12. That gets you to about $10,500 per student. And then from there, understand that from our analysis, $8,500 is enough for every single student to allow the parent to decide if they want them to go to a private school, a parochial school, a charter school, you know, or a public school, and let that money, like you said, follow the student. And so if a school is failing, then you know, the kid can go somewhere else. Right. But if a school is doing well, let the parents decide. And I really think that difference there. So from the $10,500, cut that $2,000 from every student in the entire state and make that a property tax cut. So if your town opts into
there
this,
you go.
That will actually result in about 20 to 30% reduction in your property tax bill across the depending on your municipality. And I think a lot of people that are having difficulty make ends meet, a 20 to 30% reduction in their property taxes would be something that they would really, really find appreciative, beneficial, and would improve their standard of living.
I would love Absolutely. That. In just 5 years of owning my house, my property taxes have gone up 40%. So, yes, I would love that deduction. And I don't even have kids, but I know like 60% of my property taxes going to the schools in East Brunswick, which actually we just found out are no longer even Blue Ribbon School District. So it's a lot. Exactly. So not only are we spending the most on any kid, on our kids, our pupils in the country, but our schools are actually deteriorating all over in this country right now. And I think one of the important things is for people like you, people like me, you know, people that are running to keep speaking truth, especially to the minority communities, because when you break it down the way you break it down, there's not one parent in the hood, in a minority community, that's going to sit there and say, yeah, I don't want to do that. They're going to say, well, of course, if I can get my kid a better education and put him in a private school and be able to afford it, I would love to do that. But because they've been so propagated by the Democratic Party and they're just not allowed to think freely and actually listen to these things with a cognizant mind, you know, they keep digging themselves deeper and deeper into these holes. So I encourage you, man, to keep going, keep speaking truth to power. I love it. And that's exactly what people need to start hearing to wake them up. And that's exactly what people are starting to hear. And like you said, in Florida, specifically in Dade County, minorities came out in droves for President Trump, something they did not expect. And this is Dade County in Florida.
Yep.
So it's an amazing thing going on. The media won't let people see it that way. And that's part of the propaganda. They're not going to let you see these things. They're only going to let you see it when people like us on platforms like this are talking about it. Otherwise, you turn on the CNNs, you turn on the MSNBCs, you'll never see any of this stuff. But they're telling you about Cardi B's WAP. They're telling you about how Joe Biden is the man, no matter how crazy it seems. And they're just brainwashing these people.
Control.
So I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate it, man. What else do we got for Hirsch, man?
So
fire away.
So Hirsch, so Rutgers just mandated vaccine shots for all in-person learning.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on this and mandated vaccinations in general?
I was in Trenton when we stopped them from forcing mandatory vaccination on our students. I spoke there, and I have been a strong, very strong proponent of liberty and choice. You know, I mean, not only do you have to protect like religious exemptions, but it shouldn't be religion that is necessary for an exemption. If you do not want to put something in your body, you shouldn't have to do it. And it's really quite shocking to me that our state historically was so privacy oriented that if you were found passed out, they didn't have the legal right to stick a needle in you and draw your blood. Okay, without your explicit approval.
Right.
And today, they're talking about injecting people with something which we haven't even had a chance to test, something that we don't even know the long-term effects of. That is actually something which is insane. It needs to be pushed back upon very hard. Mm-hmm. They need to get their act together because, I mean, I don't think that they're going to win that battle. I mean, there are a lot of people that, that you know, are really against this concept of mandatory.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, it's one thing if you want to take a flu vaccine or if you decide, okay, this is worth the risk that I want to take. But there are just too many people that have been harmed by this process in the past using previous sorts of vaccinations that you can't compel people to do it. So I'm really disgusted and disturbed. And my sister went to Rutgers. So I think that, you know, this is going to be a battle and they're going to have to back off because it's just unacceptable.
Even as a parent, it just... infuriates me because you're completely taking my right as a parent away to, you know, to decide what I think is best for my child, and controlling, manipulating, right? Manipulating, you know, this is what we're doing at this school, or this is what we're going to do at this job, or, you know, and it's awful. It's just, we mean nothing. The parents mean nothing.
Yes. They're trying to force the takeover of parental rights, and yep. We can't allow that. It's just really unfortunate what they're trying to do, and they're not going to succeed. They're not going to succeed because the American spirit is strong. And we're going to push back. We're going to fight back.
You already know.
But even just like with the marijuana, you know, which they were talking about where the...
Well, they already got pushed back on that, and they're reversing course on that one.
They are. But when they first started, you know, and talking about that, saying the parent doesn't even have the right to know. Crazy. Like, oh my God.
Well, I mean, I think we're at a point now, even with COVID, that they're just throwing a lot of stuff out there
to see what people will stick
and what people will take, you know, and a lot of people are laying down and taking certain things. And that's why it's going to take patriots like us to keep standing up and speaking out, even though, you know, some of those same people may talk down about some of the things that we're doing, not understanding, you know, what the intent behind it is. But, you know, I'm proud and glad to be around patriots like you guys that, you know better and continue to stand up for everybody's rights, no matter if you're white, black, brown, Democrat or Republican, liberal or conservative. We're here to fight for you and keep that American spirit, like you said, alive and well. And I promise you we will. So one question go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that this is not a fight of Democrat versus Republican. This is literally America and American values against communism.
Exactly.
Yep. Yes. 1,000% couldn't even said it better. As easy as that. Literally. And you see what happens when we start.
Go for it. Yeah.
You see what happens when we start drifting towards communism. We start, we get presidents that can't think for themselves, start writing down notes to answer questions, you know, can't remember what reporters they need to talk
to
and what order they need to. Yeah, that's what happens.
Pictures of their faces.
So, you know, his handlers are just handling everything. Mm-hmm. So here goes another question for you. Do you believe that the government has the right to mandate masks?
No.
Perfect. Simple enough, man. And here goes, we'll go with another question from one of our listeners, Iveta. I hope I pronounced that right. I'm sorry if I didn't. Here's a topic we actually didn't touch on. What are your thoughts on critical race theory?
I mean, it's nonsense. It's actual teaching people racism. This is such a tragedy that their indoctrination. They you know, already they're trying to force indoctrination on our youth, on our kids. But they're realizing that people eventually wake up, and they're trying to continue it in the workplace. They're trying to use government to push this agenda to try and keep it going. And they understand, they've learned that the American people, when you know, confronted with the truth, will pick the truth. And so they're just trying to monopolize this by keeping us in this suspended terror of believing that this is a racist nation. If it was racist, you wouldn't be on doing this interview, Darius, and I wouldn't be on the other end of the interview, okay? We wouldn't have Kanye West.
And I wouldn't be a partner.
Like, oh, some billionaire. Exactly. I mean, like, their narrative is falling apart on every front. But those in power, they're doing everything possible to make it happen. And it's not Democrat or Republican. It's both of them. It's the establishment against the people.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? You wouldn't have a bunch of literally brown people fighting and walking hundreds of miles to race and get into this country right now if it was inherently racist.
Exactly.
Spot on. Exactly.
So, I mean, listen, Hirsch, this has been, you know, amazing. I mean, we just see the reaction from some of the people watching. And, you know, as I told you in the beginning, your energy is great. So I would close it out like this. First, can you just give people, although we've had your website flashing on the screen, so we've had all that stuff, but just give people your information, where you wanted to go, where you want to direct them to. And please just give them your closing words, your stump speech for the people as to why they should vote for you in this primary, and why you would make a great governor, next governor of New Jersey.
Okay, thank you very much, First Darius and Ms. Comfrey. It's always a true pleasure. Thank you for having me. for those of you that are listening that want to make New Jersey a Republican state, a strong state, an honest state again, I ask you, go check me out at Hursting.com. Look at the issues that we're talking about right now. If you can, click on in the menu at the top on Help Us Win. And if you do that, you sign up, you can join our army of volunteers that we have all across the entire state. And right now, we have close to about 900. Our goal is to get to 15,000 by June. Okay, we want at least 2.5 people for every voting precinct in the state so that we're able to make sure that they can't have a place to do their cheating, which they're going to try and do. Okay, and just a little bit more, if you check out my Facebook, just type in Hursting on Facebook, you'll see that we have the most populous social media platform. I mean, people from all over the state are there. I have more of a following than anyone else. This is the year to really make the Republican Party take everything back, to throw out the rhinos, to throw out those that betrayed President Trump, and to make sure that we have someone from the community. Because I want everyone to know, I only got involved in politics in 2017. All right, and I got involved because I saw President Trump take on the most corrupt system in the entire world and win and prove to me that it was possible. But what did he say? If you want something done right, do it yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening in, okay, look at who's running for office, where you're sitting. If there's no candidate, get yourself on the ballot. You have 10 days till April 5th to get whatever petition signatures you need. Run for council, run for assembly if there's no one up there right now. If there's a Democrat who doesn't have an opponent, get yourself on the line. If you want guidance, reach out to my campaign. I am just one of you who decided I was sick of it. I was inspired by President Trump in 2017. And ever since then, I have learned what the establishment is in New Jersey. And I am at war because there's a civil war in the Republican Party right now between those that are America First and those that support President Trump against those establishment rhinos that want to bend knee to the left. Anyone who has a history of being against President Trump needs to be ousted, and I'm leading that charge. So please check me out again, Hursting.com. If you have the financial wherewithal, whatever you can donate to invest in this campaign that's going to be going from the bottom of the state all the way to the top, you know, you can do that also at Hursting.com. But if you have any questions that I haven't answered, write a question and we'll get back to you. I truly appreciate it all. And God bless you all. Thank you very much, you guys.
Well, we really appreciate having you on, Hirsch. And I know Priscilla was talking to you about, we'll definitely try to set up something even live. So we'll figure something out, man. I'm sure this is not the last we'll hear of you. We'll definitely be talking again. We're both wishing you the best of luck in your campaign. And, you know, you have any questions, anything from us, you know how to reach us, man. And just good luck to you guys, man. And we'll be watching you out there, brother.
Thanks, man. You guys all have a great rest of your evening. I'll catch you all soon.
All right,
Hirsch. Thanks so much, Hirsch. It's always a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye. Well, guys and gals, that was Hursting, man. What energy. What energy. I thought that was an amazing interview.
I did, too.
I thought he really, you know, had some great points. Obviously, you know, a lot of our supporters and followers are big MAGA supporters, big Trump supporters. So I'm sure a lot of what he said rings true in your ears. And, you know, it's exactly what you wanted to hear. So, and this is what it's all about, man. Us just bringing the candidates to you guys. I know there's not a lot of, you know, not just in this gubernatorial race, but, you know, races all over the country. There's not a lot of debates going on. So this was our way to get these candidates in front of you guys, have them answer the hard questions, the questions that you guys actually want to hear. Because as we see with people like Joe Biden, he's just getting softball questions and just getting asked, hey, Joe Biden, you know, when's your birthday? How was your granddaughter's birthday party yesterday? You know, so we wanted to make sure we got the questions answered that you guys care about. Yes. To see, you know, what the candidate is really about, and you can hear it straight from their mouth. So, Hursting, we appreciate you again. Thank you for coming on, brother.
Thank you so much.
I don't know if we said this earlier. Next week, we'll be here with Mr. Phil Rizzo, and hopefully the week after that, we will be here with Mr. Jack Cittarelli as well. So, you know, thank you again, Hirsch. And what's your thoughts? How you feel?
I feel good. I think it's so nice for the people to hear the energy, to hear somebody so positive and saying, this is what we're going to do and fight for us. That's what we've been really needing to hear. It's been very difficult since the November election. And I think he's fantastic. I think they're all great. I think we need to hear from them and make
somebody just assessment. Answering questions straight. Just answering
just
questions
answer
straight.
The question. Not be afraid of what we're going to ask and just go.
You know what that is, right? That's America First candidates.
That's America First candidates.
That's what it is. That's what it means.
Like, so like Joe Biden, President Biden, yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't even call on any conservative journalist. Did you see that?
I heard that. Yes, that he didn't call on any.
Right?
Yeah.
So what are you afraid of? Why?
He doesn't want to answer the hard questions. When we just got done with 4 years of a president that would take a question from anybody. He had the longest press conferences of any president we ever seen. He would take them from CNN, MSNBC, OAN, Fox News. And you guys sat here for 4 years and told us we didn't have a real president. He wasn't up for the job. Now you have somebody that's basically doing the opposite of everything. Will only take softball questions from the people that are going to give him the easy questions, not answer the hard questions. And even with the softball question, he has to have the answers written down.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's sad. It's sad.
Crazy.
I think it's sad.
It's sad. It's embarrassing. After another 4 years of liberals sitting here telling us how much President Trump embarrassed us.
They get away with it.
President Trump didn't embarrass us. President Trump put us back on top. He put us back on top. He showed the world strength again. There's a reason why the kids in Hong Kong, in the millions went out into the middle of the street and protested. Because they knew we had a president here that would back them up. They won't do that anymore. They won't do that with Joe Biden because he's bought and paid for by China. They know he won't do anything. There's a reason why people in Iran started taking to the streets when President Trump was president, because they knew if something popped off, he would do something.
Yep.
Joe Biden won't. There's a reason why people in Russia started rushing in the streets when he was president, because they knew he would do something. As much as they tried to tell you that, He was a Russian puppet.
He had an affair with Vladimir Putin.
Wait.
Wasn't that what they were saying? They
have him on video. They have him on video in Russia being peed on by prostitutes. The man that we know, because remember, he's from New York. So a lot of us from Jersey knew him. And you know what we knew of President Trump? Before, he was a germaphobe.
He would barely shake
hands. And when he did, he had a man that gave him, hand sanitizer after he shook people's hands. But yes, they got a video of him getting peed on. And these geniuses just sat
that
there
never
and listened.
Showed up.
And
that the FBI used and got us.
Bro, it's ridiculous.
Got a FISA court to, you know.
Well, we also found out towards the end of his presidency that whole file was fake. You know, they never even verified any of this stuff.
See, all this stuff has been pushed for so long and on the left and the Democrat side, and they've gotten away with it. And that's why people are so discouraged and so sick and tired of the rhinos supporting it, letting it go, not fighting, not saying anything.
They're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
It's really pathetic.
It's crazy. We live in a twilight zone right now, and No more. Just think about that, man. Just even countries in Africa, while President Trump was president, they didn't show you this here, but we're praising him for the religious freedoms he was allowing people, for his strength, for the things he was doing.
Yes.
You didn't see it on CNN. You didn't see it on MSNBC. So while these geniuses were sitting here calling everybody else stupid, they didn't know what they were talking about. In actuality, you didn't know what you were talking about, because the rest of the world felt completely different than you.
Yep.
The people.
Yes.
Not the politicians at the top. The people.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, they wanted to make fun of them. They were, you know, laughing, you know, at the G20. You know, they got that picture. Who's laughing now? Who's laughing now? This guy in Canada, he's a joke. Nobody likes him anymore. He's just letting that country go to the crap. Now they see it. He's a joke. This was the guy, while President Trump was president, called out President Trump saying, "You're racist for not letting Syrian migrants in and stuff like that." But then just 2 years ago, stopped them himself.
Right.
After initially saying, "Yeah, we'll let him in." No, we can't let him in anymore. Why? Why, racist?
Right.
Why, racist?
And look at the Mexican president. He's mad now.
The Mexican president. Came out last week, right? While Democrats are telling us, we know nothing. You know nothing. This is just racism. The Mexican president, came out last week and said directly, guys, and I have to accentuate this stuff because this is real life. This is not a game. Directly said, directly, that Joe Biden's policies are directly contributing to more human trafficking. You know what that makes me think? You know what that makes me think? Why? Why? Because we were talking about this earlier, right? Yep. El Chapo, when he was on trial, when President Trump was president, right?
Yeah.
Started naming Mexican officials. And guess what he started naming next? American officials. As soon as he started doing that, what happened? It became a closed door trial.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yes.
It became a closed door trial. Because he started naming people. But we did get enough to hear him say that the Mexican president took a $100 million bribe. Come on, man. Course. Come on. So you think it's a coincidence that Joe Biden's policies are now allowing more drugs to get through, more human trafficking to happen? These are not coincidences. You just can't see it that way. Just like it's not a coincidence what Hirsch was just talking about, that the billions of dollars that go into Newark, Camden, Patterson just disappear. You know, the $100 million that Facebook gave Cory Booker, what happened to it? What happened to it? Yeah. The schools didn't get any better. What happened to the money?
Exactly.
This is the stuff that we're sick of. And the rest of you, you know,
they don't even come to pick up the garbage.
I didn't even, in these cities.
You remember Camden?
Yeah.
She said that it takes them over a month to get garbage picked up. Where's the money going? What are you doing?
I'm going to read this now.
It's not going to the people. It's not going to the neighborhoods. It's not going to the kids.
It's going in their pockets.
It's going to
the unions. And like, I'm so glad Hirsch called it out directly. It's going to the mafia, the mobs, the gangs, the unions, the lobbyists, the politicians. This is where the money's going. While your kids are starving, while your kids are being shot down like dogs in the street.
And
right?
what did Phil Rizzo say? Murphy, he makes how much a year?
He's a billionaire.
But how much does he make a salary a year for being governor? 100 and change?
Something like that, yeah.
But he's worth how much?
Well, that was
what did he make last year?
Money from before.
No,
yeah, he made like
last
a couple
year.
Hundred million dollars. Yes, while he was governor of New
while
Jersey.
While he was governor, a couple hundred million dollars, but he only makes 100.
Trump had to divest in everything, otherwise it was corrupt. He had to divest in everything.
That's right.
Which he did. That's he gave it to his kids.
He signed it all over.
And what else did they do? They said we won't start not one new international project while he is a president. But Murphy, as you said, can make $100 million and it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And they also went after Trump's doctor, remember? And because Trump wasn't healthy enough. Are you kidding me? Look at the difference right now. Trump is up there stronger than ever. Biden can't even answer questions.
It's so sickening, man.
And he stares off, and I just think it's awful. I think it's awful, and shame on them. Shame on them for, you know, pulling the wool over.
Think about
the Democrats and the left and the people who don't pay attention.
Not to make it about race, but for black people, what are you letting these white liberals do to you? Honestly. Honestly,
really?
Man. Honestly. You know, this was a post I was going to put up. Maybe I won't now since we're going to read it. But this is how I felt. This was actually a thought on my mind today because on my post, I just start writing them to myself. Then I'll send it to Saudia to edit sometimes. Like, and I'll do this and I'll start posting them throughout the day. Right?
Saudia.
So I put, from the deterioration of urban cities to the mental decline of Joe Biden, Democrats have certainly mastered the art of acting as if what is actually happening is not actually happening. And they'll call you all kinds of names and throw insults at anyone who dares speak the truth.
Yep.
That's a special skill.
It is. Transference.
That's a special skill.
Transference.
That's a special skill.
What they're actually doing themselves. They're transferring it. And then they come after you for you even saying anything against it. Or wait a minute. That's not what I said. Or that's not what's happening. And then you're a target. Then you're canceled.
For every black
person.
They
got it down. And they got the money backing them thanks to Soros and all these other outside people who aren't even in our country.
Yeah.
Who aren't even part of our country. You know? They want to take us down. They want to be in charge. They
want to
be in
to
control.
Be subjects.
And they want us to be controlled.
Yep.
So if you're going to, you know, you want that, that's what you want, then, you know, sit back in your Mercedes and drive around and get your cars and your pocketbooks and la, 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 la.
But you know what they're going to say, right? They're going to say this is hyperbole. But guys, you just heard it with Hirsch. They put a bill out in New Jersey that told the cops you cannot tell the parents if you catch their 16-year-old kid with drugs or alcohol.
Crazy.
What does that say to you? They're trying to control your kids. This is not hyperbole. This is not conspiracy theories. This is what they're doing in front of you. They did it in
like
the black community already. What did Kim talk about yesterday?
Yeah.
In order to be on Section 8, you can't have a husband. In order for you to be on Section 8 in the hood, you can't have a husband.
Right.
When Section 3 says you clearly can. Right. And he clearly can be in the house. You so can't. This is
eight,
not conspiracy theories,
you can have,
man.
Be in Section 8, but you cannot have a
husband. Honestly, it's not conspiracy theories.
So that's great. So there's no father. Okay, that's good. Great.
Just break down the family.
Or,
just keep breaking it
down.
Or
you're not going to have a place to live. I mean, it's insane.
You know, so for the black people out there that like to run around, especially calling black conservatives coons, Uncle Toms and stuff like this, and calling them embarrassments, you're the embarrassment, you know, because you're the same person that I see all over Facebook, all over Twitter, right? These black people going up there and saying what these guys did, and we'll talk about this in a second too, what these guys did on January 6th was an embarrassment. It was an embarrassment to the country. No, the fact that you can call that an embarrassment, but you have yet to call your own people being shot down like dogs in the middle of the street an embarrassment.
Chicago.
And you haven't yet called it embarrassing to see in Baltimore you have schools where they have a 10% literacy rate. When you haven't called embarrassing schools in Chicago and Newark and Camden where they have 70% dropout rates. If that's not embarrassing to you, you're an embarrassment. Not what they did on the 6th, even though I don't agree with them going inside. You're an embarrassment. And now we're finding out, and I just put this up yesterday, that now the prosecutors are backtracking on the story from the 6th. Now the prosecutors are saying, right, where they were saying, oh, these guys were sending messages in the encrypted code and stuff like this. They came back and said, well, one of them, how is that possible? His phone was dead. His phone was dead at the time you said he was sending encrypted messages. These people are liars and devils. Yes. And these guys are falling for it. You're falling for it over and over and over and over and over again. And that's why your communities look the way they do. That's why our schools look the way they do. That's why your bank accounts look the way they do. Because you're falling for the nonsense. And they keep beating you over the head. And you just keep taking it and laying down and taking it. While you want to call everybody else that has the balls to stand up and try to do something about it. Uncle Toms. Embarrassments. Coons. No, you're the coon. You're the Uncle Tom. You're their embarrassment. You're the terrorist. You're literally a terrorist to your own community.
Yep.
Literally.
Yes.
Like, this is asinine. So, to conservatives out there, because I actually just got a message from somebody else. You know how many messages I get every day where people are, like, saying to me, Darius, can you give me some advice? What should I do? I got this person calling me racist, but I know I'm not a racist. They're just saying it because I'm a conservative. You got black people. Darius, what should I do? You got, they're calling me coons, but I just want to see our neighborhood do better. Keep doing you. Keep doing you. Keep being you. That's the best advice I can give you, because these people that are doing these things, these people that are going around doing things for the trend, doing things for popularity, they won't go far in life. They never do.
No.
They never do. That's why they have to act so cool, right? That's why they have to be the coolest kid. That's why they got to have the most Instagram followers, because they can't do anything else in life. They're not going to make it anywhere else in life.
Yeah.
Keep being you. Keep being that intelligent young man or young woman that you are. Keep striving for whatever it is you want to strive for in life.
Stand up for yourself.
Whatever it is.
Believe what you believe. Stand up for yourself with integrity, you know?
Absolutely. I agree, man. It's time. This is a new day.
This is a new day.
Listen, you can that coon and Uncle Tom don't work with me. Sorry, I almost cursed again. But that don't work with me, man. That don't work with me because I see through the bullshit. Honestly, I'm just going to say it. I see through it. Yeah, I see through it. I'm sorry. I see through it, man. So, you know, keep doing you. I know my worth. I know what I'm out here doing. I know what my heart represents. You know, we were talking about this earlier. You know, there's Republicans like Kim was talking about that won't go into certain neighborhoods. Me and you go into these neighborhoods.
We go into these things.
Oh, we have big hearts, and we're doing it for love. We don't let politicians come out.
For our country, for the people.
Yep.
Just for...
out of the goodness of our hearts.
The goodness of our hearts. Just, I mean,
to change the narrative.
To change the narrative, to help. To genuinely help, to give a lift up, to lift people up. Right?
Listen, I went from making $200,000+ a year to not making basically anything right now, because it's not like I pay myself for my campaign.
Join the club. You joined my club now.
I'm doing this out of the goodness of my heart. And of course, yes, I'm starting, you know, businesses and things like this, but that's just another example of me just being the change I want to see and just going for what I believe in.
Yeah.
You know, and just taking advantage of the great things in this country.
You know, a lot of the activists, we don't make anything.
Nah. Scott, in fact, Scott will not even let us charge for his events.
No.
He said you can't charge, which is great. because we're going to do this election integrity event on June 19th. There is no charge. And by the way, we've actually, for a lot of people have been asking about that, we actually have two locations. I talked to Scott the other day, and I think the way we're going to do it is we're going to break it up into two sessions. So on the 19th, we're going to do it at one location from 10 to 1, and then another location from like 3 to 6. And because of the restrictions in right now, it seems like the places are only going to allow us to have 60 people in at a time. So once we drop the information, once we drop the invites, the first 120 people to sign up, that's who's going to be allowed in. And hopefully, as we go through, maybe they'll loosen some of the restrictions and then we'll be able to open it up again. But it'll be very important that once we put those registrations up, once we put those pages up, sign up quick, because the first 120, that's who gets in.
It's going to go. Yeah.
It's going to go quick. It's going to go quick, man.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man. I hope all these other candidates bring the fire like that and bring the energy, man, because... Man, we're pumped.
They will.
Oh, boy.
They will. I after last night.
Jersey!
Listening to Hirsch today. And, you know.
Yo, yeah. The East Coast, I want people to understand out there, I say this all the time, the East Coast is different, man. You know, even, and it's not just conservatives, man. There's a lot more people than they let you on to believe that actually supported a lot of stuff that Donald Trump was doing. I'm saying from rappers, black people, brown people. They just never let you see that stuff. But I know just from being here in the East Coast, there was a lot of them. And like Hirsch was just saying, down in Dade County, you know, where Rick Ross, boss, where they're from, a lot of those people voted for Donald Trump. I bet you didn't know that. A lot of them voted for Donald Trump. Right? A lot of them. The Cubans down there. The blacks down there. Cubans. A lot of them. He got the most black male votes of any Republican in history.
I know.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Stop saying that.
Come on, man. Yeah, yo.
I'm going to dream about that. I'm going to hear in my sleep all night.
The only thing that sucks about that, because it does make me feel like Joe Biden might have a little black in him, the fact that he said, come on, man, because that sounds like something I'm going to say. Come on, man. Got a little something in him, but.
Maybe a little.
What did he say before? What was his friend's name? What was his guy's name? That funny name. One of my boys said he actually knew somebody that name. I forget. It was crazy. Yeah. I ain't never heard of nobody, but I told him it must be a West Coast thing, because I ain't never heard of a nickname like that. I've heard of like Jajas and Kades and stuff like that, but I forget what it was. I heard of Mookies and, you know, stuff like that. But what Joe Biden said, that was a little weird. But it sounded like something somebody wearing Chuck Taylor's would maybe call themselves over on the West Coast. But yeah, man, that was an awesome interview. I'm looking forward to next week. We got some stuff coming. We had a great meeting today with a possible new sponsor coming soon. And we're being very strategic in the people we have sponsor us, because we want it to be educational, uplifting stuff. And this is something that's really educational.
Stuff for kids. Kids will love it. Help the country. Yep. Help people. Help the families. Yep. Family.
Yes, ma'am. Right? It should be about that, because, you know, the Democratic Party is all about breaking the nuclear family down. Yep. So is Black Lives Matter. Even though they tell you you're racist for saying that.
We're going to undo it. We're going to go right around it.
You already know.
We already
know. AOC on FaceTime. Now what? Yo, we get to that house, I'm telling you I'm running up in her office on FaceTime. I'm telling you right now.
I'll be right there with you. I've already run up.
Telling you. AOC, we got some questions for you. Now what?
I think we should have her on.
I would love, we're actually talking about that. We are going to, just so you guys know, we are going to try to bring more Democrats on, because this is not black, not white America, man. We're willing to talk to any and everybody. So people like AOC, we definitely plan to do that soon. So honestly,
we'll be respectful, but we want to ask questions. We want answers to our questions.
We're not looking to gaslight anybody.
Do you know, you notice like when you watch on TV and stuff, they'll ask a question and then they don't answer it.
Yeah.
And they dance around it. Yeah. And they let them get away with it. We're not doing that here.
If you know of any Democrats, liberals.
Respectful.
Any Democrats, any liberals that aren't afraid to come on this show and want to come on and just have a decent conversation, please email us at notblacknotwhiteamerican@gmail.com.
Yeah.
But other than that, man, I know people are getting a little tired of us, you know.
Yeah.
Been on for a little bit, but I thought it was a great show. I thought that was a great interview.
Yep, it was.
Good job again,
Thank you,
as always. And guys, you know, thank you for joining us. Just know this episode in its audio version will be available this Sunday at 8 p.m. at www.notblacknotwhiteamerican.com, as well as on all major platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Google, Stitcher, everything. So 8 p.m. this Sunday, this episode will be available again if you missed it. And obviously, you can always replay the live here as well. But Hersh Singh, thank you again for joining us.
Hersh.
Good luck in all you do.
Yes.
Pastor Phil Rizzo, we look forward to talking to you next week. So we'll see you guys again next week for another live with New Jersey's gubernatorial candidate, Pastor Philip Rizzo. And we look forward to that, man. And just thank you all for joining us. And same thing as before, we have some questions that we're going to ask all of them. But if you guys have any questions that you'd like us to ask Pastor Rizzo, you can email us at notblacknotwhiteamerican@gmail.com. And once again, thank you again for joining us live.
Thank you.
On Not Black, Not White, American Podcast. Jersey!
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's how you're doing it. It's like, yeah.